Good morning. Hey, so we've been going through Colossians, more or less, and we kind of took a detour last week, and I think I'm going to continue that just a little bit further today. We started talking a little bit about heaven. Now, Colossians doesn't talk much about that, but it does hint that that's one of the motivations for the Colossian church, of why they were doing well. And so I just thought it'd be fun to talk about it. And so we did last week, we'll continue today. Now, I was told that, you know, there's a lot of things in heaven that are about our relationship with God, and I agree with that. And it is the most important thing that's going to happen for us. Right now we see things dimly, and then we'll see them face to face. And there's a lot to be said there, but I really like just talking about the, like, human part, because some of those other things, we talk about them anyways as we discuss how to mature in the Lord. And so I just want to continue that discussion with you guys. What's heaven like? What's our experience going to be like? What can we expect? And just keep adding a little bit of flesh onto it, and then we'll move on next week from that. Last week I didn't bring any Old Testament passages, but I'm going to bring one in. I'm going to start with it. I almost cut this out because I think maybe it mixes in some of what's going to happen in the millennium. But I still think it puts some flesh on the idea. And you'll see why I think it might be in the millennium as we read this. It's in Isaiah chapter 65. We're going to start in verse 17. Isaiah 65, 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. And there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will also plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people, and my chosen ones will wear out the work of their hand, and they will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the dust will be the serpent's food. They will do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. All right, there's a lot there. You can see why I think it's probably not the new heaven and the new earth. Most of that, even though right in the beginning it says, talks about him creating a new heaven and a new earth. But there's no death after this. We only die once. And so in this scenery, there are people who don't, or it doesn't look like anyone during some of this time that it talks about will live forever. And it does give us a picture of kind of God's ideal universe, in which there are a few things that One, the curse. We live under the curse that happened in Genesis. There was a time when God created the heaven and the earth originally. He created it to where if you do something, it doesn't just fall apart on you. Nature itself isn't fighting you. If you planted seeds, they would grow, and you would eat their fruit, and no one would take it from you. And those are the kinds of things that I think will probably also be on the new earth and the new heaven. God created this earth originally to be excellent. He didn't make any mistakes when he built this place. And he created us in such a way that we would enjoy it and that we would do things. Long before the curse, Adam was put to work in the garden. And he probably liked it. There's no looking for retirement, no, none of those things. But there will be no death. Animals will not eat each other. I'm still hoping for that bacon tree. I know I mentioned that last week. It's important to me, okay? but God will live and rule there in Jerusalem, in the new Jerusalem, and his light will illuminate the earth and all of Jerusalem. And now, New Jerusalem is kind of interesting. Let's jump to that. Grace, would you help me out? Now, Jerusalem will not be in the United States of America, but I found this picture and I wanted to present it to give you an idea. Jerusalem is 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles tall. Like that. So I did a little math, and right now there are less than 8 billion people on the planet. That thing is big enough to where the entire earth of people right now could live in there and each have about 2/3 of a kilometer. I think it was kilometer or mile. Doesn't matter. A lot of space square as your own apartment. Just for fun, it gives us the height, but it doesn't say that it's square. Just as a fun side note, and I don't believe this, but it could be a pyramid. Just saying, it could be a pyramid, in which case about half of that space, that those cubic feet wouldn't be there. But two-thirds. Sorry. Are you sure? Yes, you're right. I don't know why I question that.
But anyway, there's still lots of room.
Lots of room. Yeah. And if you consider that right now, there are more people alive than have been alive throughout history all put together. And most of us conservative Christians don't believe everybody's going to heaven. We need to save some souls. It's going to be lonely almost, maybe. I don't mean that, but that is a lot of space. Let's see. Let's turn real quick to John 14, starting in verse 2. We'll do verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I think he's telling the truth. There is a lot of space right there. Another pondering I've had is John sees the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Now, does that mean it's moving down? Does it mean it's so big that he sees it up there and then looks down? Or being as it seems like we might not have a sun, and God himself will live in there and illuminate it, and by its light, those walking on earth will walk by that light. Makes me almost wonder if it maybe is like a replacement for our moon, you know, around. I don't know. Do we need spaceships to get there? Probably not. Speaking of spaceships to get there, our new glorified body. Something also fun to talk about. Jesus, after he rose from the dead, seemed to function differently. It appears as if he would appear, or disappear, or walk through walls. It is possible that if that is any indication, that we might be able to say, if that thing was in space, we might be able to just appear in it. Also, it has walls with gates that are pearls. How does that work? Well, if you can walk through walls, that is not an issue. I don't know. Let's see, what else do we have about heaven?
So maybe St. Peter's not at the gate asking questions. It's like, if you can get in, you're in?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Plus you'd need, what, I think it has 12 gates, so you need 12 Peters.
One more item to consider is that though John saw it coming down, it never lands.
Right. Yeah, so...
We assume that.
Right.
But he didn't say that.
Right. So as we discuss heaven, I think we have more questions afterwards than answers, but doing so still kind of gives us a picture, because we need hope. We need something to look forward to. And we need to keep in mind that God created this earth, and he created us for it. And so the things that we enjoy here that are not sinful are probably going to be there, and they're going to be better than they are here. Our senses will be clear. Our mind will no longer be hazy. And there won't be a night. I'd like to talk to, when I had a Sunday school class and we'd talk about heaven, talked about how we'll be there for a long time with resources. And I don't think the kids really appreciated it that much the way I do, and maybe some of you older folks do. I have wanted to do so many things in my life. There's so many things I've wanted to do and learn. I mean, how many instruments do you play, Dan?
I don't know.
There's more. Imagine how many instruments he's going to know in a few trillion years. A lot, and you will probably too. But you could build your own pyramid, rock by rock. Why not? You have that kind of time. Maybe your house would be visible from this perspective. I don't know. Yeah. So we will have new bodies that can do amazing things. Just visually, we know that our eyes do not perceive even a fraction of the light spectrums that are available. So there are things to see if our eyes were just a little bit better. Some animals can see a lot of things we cannot, especially underwater animals, because our eyes have to be protected from UV rays and that sort of thing, from the damage. So our bodies will be imperishable, immortal, heavenly bodies. Kind of like the angels, it says in one spot. There will be no male and female. That part's a little bit sad, kind of. just by way of, like, you know, what's our tightest relationship, our mate? And so there won't be that, but we will have that tight relationship with the Father. And I don't think we're going to be lonely, even though I made that joke about the size and we got to fill that thing up. And there'll be angels there as well. So I don't think humanity has to do it alone. There will be no gifts of the Spirit, but there will be the fruit of the Spirit. So things like love, joy, and peace will be there in abundance. There will be purpose, and there will be time. I believe there'll be time. Some people think that will be timeless. I don't think that. I think there'll still be time. We'll perceive it similarly to the way we perceive time here as we move forward. Just because if there is a physical earth, then there is a progression. And so there'll be things to look forward to. We will know things and understand things about God that are true. We will know a lot of things, but I don't think that we're going to be all-knowing the way the Father is all-knowing. I don't think we will know all things at the same time. We'll know who's moving around on the other side of the planet. That's silly. I don't think that's a thing. And there's some indication that we will not think about or remember even the things that happened here. We won't forget all things, but I think kind of the bad will be scrubbed. There seems to be some indication to that. So talking about all these things, and it's a lot of fun to me, but next time we're going to have to move forward. I want to leave you with a verse in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And this is a quote, but things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Yeah. So, anybody have any other thoughts about heaven over the last week? I mean, we brought it up. Anybody think about it at all? Yeah? Good.
Yeah, after the service last week, I was talking to Dave Blalock, who said, I have a number of scriptures that I'd love to share. And I said, well, there's next week. And he said, I'm going to be at a wedding.
Yeah.
And Humboldt County, so he's not here. But yeah. Just the thought, Dave went on to say to me, I think about heaven all the time.
Does he? That's awesome.
He said, I'm so tired of this chaos. I long for heaven. I appreciated that.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Elizabeth.
I have really been thinking a whole lot just in some of my family that's involved in world trade and economics and all the stuff going on in the world, and the scripture that says to store up your treasures in heaven where rust and mold and thieves. And, you know, thinking about what that means to really invest my life, our lives, in the lives of other people and sharing the gospel, sharing the reality of the love of God, because that's what's really going to matter. That's, I think, you know, the treasures that we're going to get to have is not like gold and silver necessarily, but seeing lives that we loved and ministered to, and that came into the kingdom because God works through us. So, yeah.
Nice. Yes, Dan.
Just as we went through, especially the end of Revelation,
couple of years ago now. I know I would have made some comments like this, but there is very little in the Bible about heaven. Mm-hmm. Our culture has some odd ideas about heaven, and because it permeates our culture, some out there look at that and say, that's heaven, I don't want it. Sitting on a cloud with the harp for eternity. Huh. Where did that come from? They come out of a little hint from a Bible verse over here. Jesus came, the clouds will come again. And here's a group over here with a harp. Put those together, a harp and a cloud, and that's me. Hey, with wings, by the way. I'd have those angel wings, because I became one of those. That's weird. That is not heaven. That is not eternal dwelling place that I look forward to. Thankfully, that's not the picture that God paints.
Right.
But part of the picture about that eternal place is in Revelation 7, uncountable multitude of human beings from all every tongue and tribe and nation, along with the heavenly beings before the throne of God. That looks way different than that false picture that Satan has painted about heaven.
Right. You think that's in the heaven before the new heaven and the new earth, or like in that thing?
I don't know.
The non-paper version. Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that, but I didn't have the answer, so I was like, what?
I can't quote it exactly, but C.S. Lewis, in somewhere in his writings, he talked about the idea that when we recognize that we have longings for good things that can never be fulfilled in this world, isn't it reasonable to expect that there will be a world where those will be fulfilled by God? And, you know, that's not very specific.
Right.
But, the older I get, the more I think about heaven. And the more ready I am to be there.
Right.
Not trying to rush it.
Chris?
We have that idea from Revelation about streets of gold. Mm-hmm. What's a street for?
Have parades.
And gold that is transparent. There's so much we don't know. Mm-hmm. So much. It's not just a bunch of gold nuggets all melted together and now it's pavement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's drop that joke. Transparent.
What?
I'm a woman, so his opinion is more important than mine. But I just wanted to say something about the value of the conversation around heaven, just because it's easy to, like, when you're talking about heaven, it'll be great, but, like, I mean, it's no spiritual value to think about it. But something my added teacher, he taught a lesson on sanctification.
Can you speak up? Sorry. Half the room is having a hard time.
One of my teachers taught a lesson on sanctification, and he was talking about the motivations for it. And he was like, oh yeah, pleasing God, yes, the class, what they all thought. And then he said, well, no, none of you said the promise of reward. We were all like... He said, it's not selfish to think about the promise of reward. We're promised a reward. So if when life gets really hard, you're trying to strive to do good, you're trying to strive for righteousness, you got to have something to look forward to. The motivation of I know it's right isn't enough. You need to be striving towards something, and the promise of reward, the promise of relief and rest later is it's very helpful for the war for righteousness.
Right. Yeah, one of the issues we have when we look towards rewards is it's hard because we live in a fallen world and we are sinful. We don't know how to differentiate between how God made us and the part that's sinful. Sometimes those get a little bit confused. Even Jesus, when the apostles would strive for being number one, he didn't really tell them not to seek to be first. He just told them that they had to be last to be first. if you want to be first, you have to be the servant of all. And so I don't think Jesus ever spoke down to anyone for wanting to strive for something better for themselves. It's just we have to keep the right perspective in mind. We do that by loving others as God and the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus did, right? They always promoted each other, and that promotes all of them. Thank you. We're definitely out of time. I'm going to pray, and then, yeah. Lord God, thank you that you have given us something to strive for, Lord. Thank you that you've changed our hearts so we love people regardless of whether or not there is a reward, and that there is a change that comes from you, Lord God. Thank you that there is a reward. Thank you that we have something to look forward to and that you have prepared a place for us that's definitely big enough for all of us, Lord. And we will be there with you and you will be our Father. Thank you. Please bless our time together and fellowship between now and the next service, Lord. May our conversation be honoring to you. May you be glorified in all that we do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Enjoy a cookie.